We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Yeah, Wisconsin, a Friday edition of the Bill Michaels Show. Tim Allen in for Bill today. Joe is here, and we're talking a lot of Brewers baseball today, and rightly so. It's that time of year where really the landscape is, it's put up or shut up time now in a way to stay in this thing, and they're doing just that. They won 4 of 6, 3 in a row, and doing it well. Last night's game, and let me just reiterate before we bring in our next guest, I believe it's probably the best-looking game they've played all year long. The only blemish that I could see in last night's game would be a couple of stolen bases for the Diamondbacks. Outside of that, man, you had hitting. You had situational hitting. Love the sack flies in there. You had great starting pitching in Zach Davies, buttoning up 7 innings. You had nice bullpen work. You had, by far, defensively, just an absolute gem of a performance from Lorenzo Cain last night. Among others, a couple of double plays in that ballgame. Just a great-looking win. And hopefully that's going to continue here. Let's bring in on the Schneider Orange Hotline our guest from Fox Sports Wisconsin, Craig Kishon. Craig, thanks for the time. Tim here.
Tim, how you doing, my friend?
Way more important how you are. I don't count in that equation.
That is not true, and you know that. I'm doing great, and I think you're doing great, too. You're sounding like you're talking about some positive stuff here finally with this team, and that's good news.
It is good news, and we've been throwing it around the last couple of hours a little bit. David Stearns had made some comments the other day that the next 2 weeks, and that's not unlike a lot of GMs around baseball, that they're going to determine what stance they're going to take heading into the final couple of months. Saying the next couple of weeks will tell a lot, and I think we all could agree with that.
Yeah, I think just the way the rest of the league, you know, parity after the Dodgers and the Braves. I mean, you know, the Dodgers emerged first, then the Braves kind of emerged out in the East, and the Central has kind of played out for quite a while now. You know, it was a two-team race there for a pretty good stretch into the late spring, early summer, and now it's a little bit more than that right now, and we'll see if that doesn't go back to the two-team race of the Cubs and the Brewers before too long here. But I think you got to let it play out a little bit because, you know, there's some critical storylines, you know, for this team right now. And, you know, to be able to maybe fix some issues, it's going to cost you. And I think that we all know that, you know, you try to spend as little as possible, especially when you're in a race this tight right now to make things better. You know what I mean? I mean, you don't want to give away the farm necessarily for a rental relief pitcher right now that you're going to lose at the end of the year either. So, you know, they have to be pretty mindful of the decisions that they make. And a lot of teams are in that position right now as well. So I really would expect the trade deadline to hold true to what the definition really is. And it'll, you know, it's going to come down to the final couple of days for sure for a lot of teams.
You know, Craig, it's interesting when GMs say that, it's, you know, we'll have some clarity after a couple of weeks. It's almost like we've been trained over the years, like Pavlov's dog or something, that, hey, measure baseball in long stretches, in big windows of time. And I've had to sort of pinch myself and really retrain myself in a situation that the Brewers are in this year. It's almost, my knee jerk was, hey, man, that's too unfair to judge the whole season or your plan moving forward on just a couple of weeks of baseball, yet for a million years, we've been saying, hey, this is to be measured in large sample sizes. So, but that's the landscape here that they've, some would say they've dug a little bit of a hole. I don't know if I fully agree with that. There's some truth in that, but you know, it's strange that it does come down to a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and you know, I think the thing that I've cautioned people with, you know, when the Brewers, you know, were 9-18 during that stretch of games, you know, everyone's like, well, the Cubs were also, you know, on a downfall, and geez, if we just could have played 500, you know, we'd have a, you know, a 3 or 4 or 5 game lead. And although maybe that's true, you can't play that game either. And you just have to understand that there's still, you know, more than 2 months of the baseball season left, and a critical trade deadline area as well, where you can improve your team. And you know, I think the other thing is, and this certainly is not a I told you so at all, but I think, you know, in realistic terms, this is a pretty good baseball team that's had some disappointments, I think, when it comes to, you know, player performance. And it had to overcome some, you know, really tremendous injuries in the bullpen to start the year. And I think that's got to be the focal point of, you know, how you get this team better moving down the stretch. I think that's, you know, more than likely going to be the spot where they, you know, try to improve right now. And still have a little bit of time to do that. And you know, like you said a few moments ago, this team played a really good game yesterday, and they played much better on the back end of this homestand against the Atlanta Braves, and won a couple of games and won a series. And, you know, some guys are headed back in the right direction, at least the direction that they should be right now. So they should be performing at, you know, a higher level, like Aguilar and Thames and you know, Jeremy Jeffress right now too. So you get those guys back on track, and hopefully that's going to straighten out a storyline or two, and then he can go fix what maybe really is broken.
We've asked the question here today on the show, as well as on social media, and a pretty good barometer, 70% plus have said that they are a good team. And you just made a similar comment too, but on just a big level, big picture, macro, whatever word you want to use, are they a good baseball team?
Well, they're absolutely a good baseball team. I mean, you know, you're not in the position that the Brewers are in right now in late July, unless they're a good baseball team. I mean, they had 5 All-Stars, and every one of them deserved to be where they are. And you're comparing now to the rest of the league. So you have 5 All-Stars compared to the rest of the league, which was, you know, some of the highest numbers of any team. And you're only a couple of games back of first place right now. And you were in first and second place for a good chunk of the season. Doesn't matter what division you're in, you figure things out, you know, and you rise above some of the others. And that's what they've been able to do so far. And again, I think if they get the performances from some of these guys in the last 2 months they haven't been getting yet, and you know, continue to get all-star level performances from the guys who have been there, I really do think that they're going to contend, you know, down all the way down to the stretch. You know, that's my feeling anyway. I think they are a good team. I've thought that since spring training.
We're talking with Craig Koshan of Fox Sports Wisconsin on the Schneider Orange Hotline here, a Friday edition of the Bill Michaels Show. Craig, a little bit of broadcasting conversation here, just behind the scenes a little bit. You know, I like the stable of broadcasters. I should elevate that to love the stable of broadcasters that the Brewers have, both radio and TV. I mean, all the way around, man. It really is pretty impressive. Obviously, Uecker and Jeff Levering, I think, is one of the best up and coming broadcasters in his field. I really believe that. And then Lane Grindle's doing his thing over on the other side with you guys on the TV side with Matt filling in, yourself filling in, Brian Anderson, he's just a consummate pro. You guys ever just look around the room a little bit and say, man, for a market this size, our broadcast team is pretty damn good?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate what you said there. You know, we take a lot of pride, I think, first and foremost, Tim, that you know, we just kind of consider ourselves, you know, friends and family. And, you know, we try to take care of each other and we try to have, you know, a good time with our viewers and our listeners all in mind first. And I mean, that's really the truth. I mean, we don't ever feel like we're coming in to work. We never feel like we're going to a job. And we're very, very fortunate to be able to say that. I know there's a lot of people in the world who can't necessarily say that. And I know there's, you know, a handful of people that, you know, are very fortunate to go into what they really enjoy. And I think you include yourself in that group of going into a job that you really enjoy. And we do. And I think, you know, we have a great team and a good organization that, you know, lets us tell some stories and gives us you know, some access to be able to, you know, share what the team does. And that's really, really important to have all that. And I you know, I'm you know, fortunate from the standpoint of I have, you know, more than one thing to do and more than one responsibility. I think that's, you know, that's, I'm fortunate from that standpoint to, you know, have some versatility in my work with the team too. And everybody does. So we enjoy it, and I appreciate you saying that very much.
Yeah, I got to include Sophia and Jeff and Jerry.
Well, of course, yeah.
And Bill Schroeder would punch me in the face if I didn't mention him either. It's really good stuff because, I mean, we hear around the league, we play some of the highlights. And, I you know, again, I don't want to bash anybody by name, but, man, some of the rest of the league, and, man, it just pales to what we have here. I don't know where it came from or how it got rolling here. Why the broadcasting is so damn good. It just, I don't know where it came from, but it really, in theory, should not be this good.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that, but I will say this. I've been around this, the state and the city, you know, all my life, and, you know, been a Brewer backer all my life and a Bucks backer, a, you know, Wisconsin sports fan and all that. But the guy that's been here the longest is the guy that, you know, honestly sets the table, and that's Uke. And nobody enjoys life better than that guy. And, you know, he has a lot to do with, you know, the history of our broadcast, whether it's radio or TV, and has had a say. And you know, you gotta start with the guy that's, you know, loved the most in this state and has been around the longest. And you know, I think that's a key top of the list type thing, is, you know, to answer your question, you know, where did it all start or where did it all come from or why do we deserve all this? It's because of that guy right there. Trust me.
Yeah, it really is. I made a comment a couple of hours ago that I miss Bob Uecker, and he's not even gone yet. I don't know what we're going to do without him. I really don't. And he, man, it's just been just amazing. But, Craig, I appreciate it, man. We'll see you at the park next homestand. And keep up the good work, man. It's good stuff.
Well, Tim, you too, and thanks for having me on, and we'll do it again soon, I hope, okay?
Yeah, you got it. Craig Kishon from Fox Sports Wisconsin here on the Bill Michaels Show, Schneider Orange Hotline.
Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard, you work hard, they treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
No, I'm not kidding. It's not just because I work in and around the broadcast industry. Joe, you know this. I believe this. We'll talk more after the break here as a Friday edition of the Bill Michaels Show rolls on.
16 stations strong, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Don't forget, Wednesday Night Live out at the Wisconsin State Fair Park and the Budweiser Pavilion stage. Stop in and check it out. Gates open at 6, music at 7. It's free admission. That's all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Yeah, welcome back, Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Show. Tim Allen in for Bill today. Joe is here. And, Joe, you know that we're talking about broadcasting. You know that. I do listen around the league to broadcasters. We do, and that's because, well, two reasons. I just want to hear how Milwaukee compares and how it steps up, but also It's just you want to know what's out there. It's our industry, right? So not just the Tom Brennemans, who, by the way, is going to be making his final trip into Milwaukee this week. Do you realize that?
Marty Brenneman?
I'm sorry, Marty Brenneman.
Marty Brenneman.
Yeah.
I've golfed with Marty Brenneman.
Yeah, final trip in. That's he's a good one, man. That's big time. But
it is.
We are pretty blessed with these broadcasters, man. We really are. It's pretty cool in and around Brewers baseball. All right, trade season upon us, and we all know, or we should be aware by now, that it's one trade deadline this year. There's not this waiver deal that you can do after July 31st. So it's one deal. To be eligible for the playoffs, I mean, you've got to get it done. And we'll see. I do believe this is the first year of that, by the way. And I think, personally, that David Stearns has already missed the boat. I think he's going to overpay now for the reliever that this team almost desperately needs. It should have been done a month ago. And get out in front of this thing. And that's just me, though. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I'm pretty convinced they're going to grab a reliever.
I still think the price would have been high a month ago because, again, it was the same situation. Teams didn't know where they stood. So if they wanted to be buyers and you got David Stearns calling them, I think the price is still pretty steep because it's like, hey, man, we don't know what we're doing yet.
Well, for a team like the Brewers that had the expectations of getting to where they were and beyond from last year, maybe you could bypass the sentiment that maybe the Nationals were in, or because if you hit up the Nationals a month and a half ago, they were in sell mode at that time.
Sure.
Then they got scorching hot. They didn't have the same expectations, I don't think, than what the Brewers had heading into this year. So maybe there's some degree of truth to that, but I just think over the course of the next few years, we're going to see what impact this hard cap end date has put on the trade deadline. And maybe, who knows, maybe it'll be all hell breaking loose, you know, on the one day prime day sale, something like that. The NBA has done a nice job in doing that. The NFL, not so much, but maybe it'll be a one day frenzy, if you will. So I thought it appropriate, before we move on the show, to go through what David Stearns did last year. I went through all the trades during the season that general manager David Stearns pulled off last year in an amazing season. So we can maybe compare it moving forward to what's going on this year. Last year, April 19th, the Brewers acquire Tyler Saladino from the Chicago White Sox for cash. Oh, you don't like that one. No. How about June 10th? The Brewers last year traded G-Man Choi. For cash and Brad Miller. You don't like that one either.
No.
June 15th, just 5 days later, the Brewers acquire Chad Whitmer from the Yankees in exchange for Wendell Rio, the infielder.
Who?
Hey, I don't make it up.
Wait, they had a guy named Chad?
July 26th, the Brewers acquire Joaquin Soria and cash from the White Sox in exchange for Cody Medeiros and Wilmer Perez.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Big time home run on
yes,
that one.
Absolutely.
July 27th of last year, the Brewers acquire Mike Moustakas from the Royals in exchange for Brett Phillips and Jorge Lopez.
Yeah. Loved it.
Yeah, that was a great deal. And nothing against my boy Brett Phillips. We got to call him. We got to get him on, see how he's adjusting over there.
You know, I looked recently at Brett Phillips, what he's been up to. He's back in AAA,
yep.
And he's scuffling.
Yeah, we have to get it. Maybe we're the good luck charm for him.
Maybe. You know what? I will earmark that.
Do that.
I will do that.
We need to get him on. But that, you look at that trade. Mike Moustakas for Jorge Lopez and Brett Phillips. I mean, think about that. That's the cost of a rental. Because at that time, Moustakas was going to be a rental. That's a great deal. I mean, that just truly is. July 31st, the Brewers acquired Jonathan Schoop from the Baltimore Orioles in exchange for Jonathan VR, Luis Ortiz, and Gene Carmona.
Yeah.
That was a little bit of a haul for the output that Schoop. I don't understand the Schoop thing. I don't know how he shut off the way he shut off the second he got here.
But you know what? I will say this about Jonathan Schoop. There was one key game where if he doesn't hit that grand slam
off Mad Bum,
they don't win that game, and that keeps him out of game 163.
Yeah,
think about that.
Okay, that's a huge win, but he should have had an impact on some other losses that may have been wins if he would have been performing.
Sure.
I recall at that time, guys, and I don't mean to get super negative, but the excuse is a harsh word. But the talk was, he's finally in a different organization. He's never been in any other organization. And it just, stop being a baby and play baseball. Jeez. Okay, sorry. August 7th. Now we're past the first deadline. August 7th of last year, the Brewers trade right-handed pitcher John Paran to the Kansas City Royals in exchange for right-handed pitcher Sal Diassi.
Who?
He's telling you the trades he made last year.
Who the hell is Sal Diassi?
I know. August 31st of last year, the Brewers acquired Gio Gonzalez. The left-hander came over from the Washington Nationals for Gilbert Lara and KJ Harrison.
All right.
Nice deal.
I like it.
And it really, not that he stayed with the organization because the Brewers had just reacquired him just a month or two ago. It's a fact that he got comfortable with the setting here, which made him want to come back. I mean, that was a trade that actually worked for a free agent acquisition the following year. I love that deal.
Yeah.
August 31st, the Brewers acquired left-handed reliever Xavier Cedeño. And he came from the White Sox for outfielder Brian Cannell and right-handed pitcher Johan Dominguez. I'm going to say yes to
it. Yeah.
I'm going to say yes.
He didn't help you in the postseason, but.
August 31st of last year, the Brewers acquired Curtis Granderson from the Blue Jays for Demi Oromaloy.
Yes.
Good deal. There's your trades from last year. Can David Stearns outdo those? Ooh, that's going to be tough.
Chad Weltman? What was his name?
Whitmer. I'm just saying. When did Tyler Webb come along here?
Oh, yeah. That was because 2 years ago.
Was that 2 years ago?
Two years ago, yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, it's not on my list here.
They gave up the first baseman, Garrett Cooper.
Yeah. Yep. Who now is down in Miami. Doing well.
Yeah,
doing well. All right, we'll take a break here, and Pete Jaskolski will join us. Really interesting book, and it's an appropriate time for this conversation. Stick around. It's next on the Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends that bring you our Fisher House, Wisconsin ride, the Big Units Poker Ride, which is taking place Sunday, September 1st, presented by Bud Light and presented by our good friends at Concordia University and the Veterans Affairs Department. Go to BillMichaelsSports.com and go to the events page. You can get registered right then and there. Help those in the military that help us. That's the least we can do, right? And it's also brought to you by our friends at the Four Seasons Resort in Pembine, Wisconsin. Go to the4seasonswi.com. Also, epoxyflooringdoneright.com, where they carry a lifetime warranty, polyurea coatings, and they'll even paint your room for free. Go to Epoxy Flooring Done Right. And our friends at Stoley's Hog Alley out in Oconomowoc, a great place to get a beer and get some beverages and get yourself some food. Go out and tell them we said hi. Go to stoleyshogalley.com.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Yeah, having some fun, Wisconsin. A Friday edition of the Bill Michaels Show. A lot of baseball talk for sure today. And Tim in for Bill today. Joe is here. And we appreciate you tuned in. It's another scorcher today, man. Heat indices, as we learned that word in the last 10 years. It's a new one. Going to be brutal today. So if you've got kids, make sure that you parent today. Elderly in your neighborhood or your family, do a little gut check, do a check-in on them, and take care of business that way. Let's hit the Schneider Orange Hotline and welcome in our next guest, Pete Jaskolski, wrote a book, which, I love this sort of thing, Confidence in Conflict for Sports Officials. And this, I appreciate this book. I appreciate your time, Pete. How you doing?
I'm great, Tim, and I'm glad you got a hold of the book and took a look at the book. Thanks.
Yeah, no question. Because it's that time of year, a lot of outdoor things going on, and a lot of conflict happens in these quote tournaments. Yeah, the games are the games. I think they get beefed up a little bit in these tournaments. You wrote this book from the perspective of the official, right? The umpire, the referee, et cetera.
That's correct. It is something. Like I said, I come from an athletic family. My dad was he played at Marquette. He coached basketball in the Milwaukee Public Schools for 42, 43 years. I have, there's five boys in the family, and three of them are coaches. My oldest brother's a college basketball coach with a long pedigree in college basketball, a long history. And I got a brother at Pius that's an assistant, and my youngest brother's at Greenfield as a head coach. So I grew up in this, and I played sports. My kids played. I got into umpiring when I was younger, when I got out of college and finished playing college ball and moved up through the ranks and just loved. I've just been around this. And it was something, the book is something related to the training that I do. And it was at the request of the people that, from the company that I consult for and teach for, which is Vistalar, and they said, hey, why don't you sit down, write a book on your experiences, and then what we teach, and apply it to the model that we use to teach conflict. We teach it in all different areas, and I just took the concepts and I put them in athletics.
So when you do have a situation, because many are going to bubble up over the weekend here. We all know that. I've been there too, and been on the bleacher side of things from the parents and the friends and family perspective, and I've coached too many years ago, and sometimes you get wrapped up with emotion. What is the philosophy with, first of all, from the official side of things, how to de-escalate things?
Well, everybody wants de-escalation. I think the first thing that's really important is to understand and put yourself in the shoes of all those people that are at this event. And to understand that there are parents at whatever level that want their kid to perform well. Emotions do come out. We want to be professional as umpires. So it comes from the point of everybody wants to be treated with dignity and how to show respect to people. And it's a two-way street. And I had kids that played, and they played travel ball, they played softball, all sorts of different sports. I was a very hard player, competitive guy. I have that same look at it that you do. I was on both sides of the fence. So as an umpire, it's understanding where they're coming from and then developing skills to deal with that. And it's not always we would like to teach non-escalation. If we would all start with how we can be non-escalative, if that's even a word, and before we get to de-escalation. And the other idea is that at some point in these athletic events, conflict's going to occur at some level because we are making decisions that may not satisfy both sides of the fence.
Sure.
And the other issue, too, is I teach my officials, because I do this training for Wisconsin umpires, that you should keep your head into the field, in between the lines, on the courts. Try not to be interacting with fans, because that's a dangerous area to go.
Even if it's to, hey, Blue, you need some water? You good out there?
That's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't want to put an absolute on it, because I'll tell you, there are times when you're out there, we train our umpires in between innings. Don't come and talk to each other every inning. You're slowing up the game. Go out to short right field, stand there, keep an eye on what's going on, watch everything that's happening, okay? Because you can see kind of what the mood is of the game and the dugouts and what's going on. But there are times when people will talk to you or make a comment or do whatever, and that's fine. But when it comes to that, you know, where was that pitch, or the things that are said out of the crowd, you should keep your face pretty much and your attention on the field. Now, I understand there are things that get really out of control with some people, but that's up to the people that run these leagues. It's up to the coaches to control that behavior that's on the other side of that fence.
It's interesting. I read years ago, and I think it's available online somewhere. I read an article years ago that Mike Matheny, prior to him managing for the Cardinals, he was coaching youth baseball, and his letter to the parents, to me, was quite disturbing. And I've been vocal about that many years ago. And it was, parents should not say a word. And that, to me, I think is a little too harsh, because that is coming from somebody that's in a training camp to produce Major League Baseball players. That's not where we're at here. Okay, fine. At the Division I college level or the minor league, whatever, there's a place for that. But, man, 13-, 12-year-old, to tell the parents, don't provide advice, don't say keep your elbow here, don't say keep the ball down, et cetera. I never agreed with that. But when parents do get into it, you know, vocally like that, I mean, there's a lot of lines that are crossed. So I get where he's coming from in that perspective. But, man, if parents are going to be parents, it's their kids. It's not the coach's kids.
Well, and that's an extreme, what Mike Matheny, and I'm familiar with that, and I've actually heard you talk about that. But let's put it, we call it setting up a social contract when we teach. Okay, so as a coach, when your parents come in, and there are some coaches that do that, and one of our consultants, Katie Dill, has background in college coaching out in the Beloit area, and she's a teacher in the Illinois in the state of Illinois, and she played soccer and athletics, and she has her parents sign a social contract. So this is how we're going to behave during the season. And it makes them accountable, and it kind of lays out how things are going to be. You can be positive with your kids, cheer on your kids, do this, but this is how it happens. You know, if you have an issue, we'd like your son or daughter to come to the coach, to talk to the coach, because that's also developing the kids.
Sure.
Telling the parents, you know, we cherish in this country freedom of speech greatly. And starting to legislate behavior by saying you can't say anything or leave them alone, I mean, really, how much success do you think you're going to have with that, Tim?
Yeah, no question about it. Pete Jaskolski on the Bill Michaels Show today wrote the book Confidence in Conflict for Sports Officials. And I can just provide this piece of advice that I learned over the years. And it was, thankfully, early on. The words, I think they're pronouns, he, him. When you use those words, I think it gets personal across the diamond. And does that go for sports officials, too? Or is it just batter get in there? You know what I mean? So you actually identify them as, you know, again, I don't want to make it robots because I'm not that guy. But maybe that would help the officiating as well.
Well, how about asking people before ordering them to do things?
Okay.
If I need a batter to step in the box, would you please step in the box?
Or 17. Hey, can you get in the box?
Yep. 27 or 17 in the box, please. Would you please step in the box, please? Coach, would you please have your kids step back in the dugout?
Okay.
And nobody wants to be ordered around. And when it's possible, we want to ask. And the thing is, when you have conflict on the field, you want to be able to listen. It's a crisis moment. At that moment, somebody's going into something just happened. That's a crisis. And the big thing about this, Tim, is that these are skills, and you have to learn the skills. You have to perform them. We can get a lot of people that are going to talk and lecture and look at everybody and say you can't do this, you can't do that, or you should do this and do that. But at a moment when somebody is not happy with you or comes out on you in any of these sports and you're an official, you have to get yourself mentally prepared and have a plan to respond professionally back to this person so that we can continue to play the game. And we don't want to be disrespectful because everybody wants to be heard. So it's teaching officials how to listen and how to respond appropriately, you know, interpret what you're hearing, respond appropriately. And a lot of it is scripted out. A lot of things that are said to, I know in my career, you know, I had 37 years of high school and college ball. You pretty much know what's happening after you make a call and you get prepared. And it's how do you stand? How do you look? How do you present yourself? With the kids we train in the groups that we train for Wisconsin umpires, I script out their ground rules and I have them perform ground rules. And they have to do it. And I mix them up with the adults in the class because this is where they're learning how to be, you know, how to be assertive, how, you know, not passive, not become a bully magnet, because that's where everybody's sizing you up. And I'll ask you this question, Tim, because your kids have played, and you could probably ask your kids this, how do the umpires look and behave? Because when you're sitting in the stands and you watch that guy and the gal walk on the field, you are making an impression of them before they even step on the field, which is gonna dictate how the coaches and players are gonna interact.
There's posturing. Just final thing, Pete, and you know what? Maybe we'll get you on a post game show or spend a little more time on this. Let me just ask you one thing. We talked about the officials. We talked about the players. What about the coaches now? There's coaches on their way right now to a tournament somewhere or a game somewhere, getting things set up. If you do have an issue with some calls, and in this case baseball, hey, man, your strike zone is really out of whack. So instead of getting your ire all up, how do coaches, parents we know, just sort of stay out of that realm of things, cheer on your kids, whatever. How does a coach then approach officiating when the officials, hey, man, having a bad day?
When the officials having a bad day? You know what? First of all, call timeout. You walk out and have a conversation, not an argument. And as an umpire, I encouraged it. If you guys have to talk, I'm not yelling at you from 90 feet. Call timeout. Come and talk. We will talk about things.
Great advice. And I'll tell you what else works. Smile, everybody. Just smile. Come on, man. I mean, it's pretty simple, man. Pete, how do people get in touch with your seminars and your book?
If you just take a look at our website, it's www.vistelar.com. So very interactive website. You can take a look at that. And the book, you can get it on Amazon. So just go on Amazon. You can either pull up my name or the title of the book, and you'll see it.
Confidence in Conflict for Sports Officials. That's Pete Jaskolski. Good stuff, Pete. I know we'll talk again, all right?
All right. Have a great weekend, Tim.
Yeah, you too. There he is. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard, you work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them at 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
Don't get personal and smile. That's the deal. That's the deal this weekend for everybody. Kids, coaches, umpires, soccer officials, wherever you're going this weekend, smile and show some respect and just be normal. It's not that big of a deal.
And the world will smile back.
Indeed. It's the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Neumel Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state of Wisconsin and beyond the borders. They have a 98% success rate, all but guaranteeing the fact that they can fix you, help you with your problem. And if you're feeling moody or sluggish or run down, no stamina, no energy, they can help you out there as well. Just stop in and get your numbers checked for low T. It takes about 10, 15 minutes, and they can help you out almost right then and there, right on the spot, at least set you up with a program. And if you're looking down right now and you're thinking, man, I need to lose a few pounds or jumpstart the new health and wellness system, that's the way to do it. Go to Neumel Medical. Call the medical experts over at Neumel Medical Center, 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451.
Great timing, Bill Michaels. Time for the Neumel Medical heads-up plays of the week, and we fire things up with a Saturday night rout for the Brewers as Christian Yelich was stacking up some stats.
Yelich, a drive right center. And it's a grand slam! First of the year for the Brewers.
dogs are barking tonight.
Hey, that's how you indeed go for your second straight MVP. That's how you hit with runners in scoring position. That's how you win baseball games. They got the win there. It was a rout. Play number two, New Mail Medical heads-up play of the week number two. It's last night's game to end the first inning. Craig Counsell loves momentum inside of games. Game-changing play from Lorenzo Cain.
They have dropped, and Escobar, first pitch, Hackett, lifts one deep into right center field. Cain going back at the wall. Oh, my goodness, he did it again. Lorenzo Cain with a not tonight already. All year long.
Oh, man, you heard Matt LePay. Just, he knew it was coming. You could hear it in him. Play number three, Ryan Braun, don't look now, folks, having a nice year.
And Braun with a fly ball, hit back into right center field, and that is gone. A home run for Ryan Braun, number 14 on the year, and it's 5-1 Brew Crew.
And the highlights from Fox Sports Wisconsin, New Mail Medical heads-up plays of the week. Tim in for Bill today. It's the Bill Michaels Show, Wisconsin.
To the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.